The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to my program. I have on the line someone that's been with me before, last September, in the middle part of the month. I think the date was the 19th, to be exact. I had the privilege of meeting face-to-face back then Elizabeth Ameling. And Elizabeth is the founder of an outreach, and there is one of the chapters of that outreach in Orlando. It's called Letitia's House, and it's an outreach that gives hope, it gives direction, it helps save the lives of young ladies who are caught up in the world of sex trafficking. And it's something that is so amazingly prominent in this day. We hear about it, sadly, much more than we ever would want to. But it's a reality. It's the dark side of our culture that God is using this lady in a marvelous way and those with her. And she's just doing a great work. So, Elizabeth, welcome back to my program.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Now, as I mentioned last time, we were face-to-face. You were in Orlando, and I think you're actually in Orlando today, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I've been here since Sunday.
So we're still doing the conversations, the interviews over the phone, and that's for a while yet. But Elizabeth is here because you do have a chapter of Letitia's House here. And I thought it would be good for those that might not have heard our first episode back in September, if you could share with us the story of how it is and what all that took place that got you into doing Letitia's House in the very beginning.
Oh, I'd be honored to tell you about that. Years ago, I was a parent chaperone on a youth group trip. I had three children who were now adults, but my son and daughter were 10 and 12, and the middle school and high school went to Gary, Indiana, and ended up in Chicago, and we did street ministry. We connected with the Dream Center, and the kids, you know, did dramas, presented the gospel, worked in a soup kitchen, and we were there for 2 weeks, and we saw a girl. My daughter Sarah was 12, and I saw a little girl on a street corner, and I was the mom in charge of all the girls, you know, the chaperone in charge of all the girls. Our youth pastor and his wife and two babies were on the trip as well. I saw a child on the street, and I thought, gee, where are her parents? And she was standing there dressed kind of scantily, and it was a hot Chicago day. And so we approached her, and she wasn't afraid of us, and she looked hungry, and we gave her some McDonald's. And, you know, she told us her name was Letitia. Anyway, we saw her a couple days later, and she was in the company of a man who was standing about 10 feet away but watching our interactions. And I realized at the second meeting that something wasn't right. She wasn't with a parent. She was with a man, and she wasn't, just something wasn't right, you know. And we were with the Dream Center, and they said, well, she's probably being trafficked. And so we're like, oh, my gosh. The third day we saw Letitia, I mean, I had called my husband. I said, there's a child, and if we see her again, I want to bring her home, and I want to help her because we can't leave a child on the street. And they said, well, you can't take a child off the street, but we can help her. And so we were under Lower Wacker. It was midnight, and out of the shadows came Letitia, and her pimp was standing about 3 feet away. And they let me get out of a van with my daughter. And the Dream Center guy says, if she's willing for Christ to change her life, we'll help her. So I said, Letitia, do you want your life to change? And she says, yes, I don't know how. And then she grabs my hand and she says, God, if you're real, change my life. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God just washed over her. She starts to cry. She says, I feel loved for the first time in my life. So we took her into the van, and the off-duty cops with us restrained her pimp. We go to a safe house in Chicago. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, full moon. And she's talking in the van as we go about how she was trafficked at 12. She had Hep C. She'd been raped. All these different things. And then she says, "Will I have a bed to sleep in?" And they go, "Yes." And then she says, "Will I have a shower?" And they go, "Yes." And she says, "I'm scared." So we get there, and she's standing there, and the house mother for the safe house comes out, and she takes Letitia in her arms, who weighs about 80 pounds, and she says, "Welcome home, Letitia, welcome home." Mm. The kids in the youth group were crying. It was one of those moments you never forget. And we got back in the van, and I knew that I needed to do something. My life was forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once I knew there was that problem. So I was a homeschooling mom, and I have a degree in music. So I was telling the Lord, you know, "Do you know who you're talking to? I know nothing about this." So, but that's how it started. I mean...
You know, it's an amazing story, and I've heard the story before, and yet hearing it again, I'm freshly compelled at, number one, the fact that such a horrible thing exists where a young girl taken at age 12. How old was Letitia at the point where you saw her?
In her 20s, but she was so skinny. She hadn't gone through puberty. And she was being trafficked as a minor because children bring in more money than adult women do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sold her as if she was a kid. And she made thousands of dollars for her pimp, which is not uncommon at all.
Right. And it's just so wise that you had all the help that you did with having a policeman, off-duty policeman with you to help,
right,
as you said, restrain that horrible man that did all of this and was... pimping her, and without any care at all for the fact that she's a young lady, and just, oh, it's inhumane. It's in every way. It's just a horrible reality that is going on in our cities across America. And the shocking thing that happened years ago when I began to realize that the numbers in Florida, and especially in even Orlando and Gainesville, those numbers are shockingly high where this is happening, where kids are being lifted out of shopping centers, out of malls, and basically being snatched up and sold into this form of slavery, that it's going on right under our noses every day.
Yeah, Orlando and Florida are at the top. I mean... Virginia, where I'm from, is ranked number 6 by Polaris for trafficking cases, and Florida's ranked number 2.
Mm.
I mean, it depends on what statistics you look at, but Orlando is a hub of trafficking, but you have, it's the convention capital of the world, it's the vacation capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have it, you have thousands of hotels and people coming in and out, and even the weather in Florida, even in spite of the thunderstorms, which seem to happen every day, trafficking happens. There's no winter season like in Virginia. So it's, and or, I mean, the state of Florida does an amazing job. I mean, the Attorney General's office, they're all over it, and they're, but it's a huge scourge to deal with. I mean, you could probably have hundreds of thousands of people working on it and still have a problem. It's that big.
Now, with Letitia going with you to that safe house that night, and as you mentioned, you knew in your own heart that evening that your life was forever changed. You had been, in a real sense, just touched by God with now what is going to become a new calling. And as a music person, you weren't really equipped to do what... God was calling you to do, but that did not stop God from calling you to do it. So what was your next step?
We finished our mission trip. We went back to Charlottesville, and we partnered. There was a pastor in our church who'd been homeless for 10 years, and he was a former addict. And we approached him and said, would you teach us how to minister to people that are outcast and how to do this right, because we didn't want to do harm. And so he taught us, and then we trained our youth group. And so we started going out Thursday night and Friday night, and we did a thing called H2O, Jesus is the Water of Life. So we took food packets and scripture, and we got our teens out. They wanted to do it, and we said, you're here to minister and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're not proselytizing. We're just sharing the love of Jesus, and if somebody would like prayer, we can pray with them, but if they need to go to the hospital, we'll take them to the hospital. So that's what we did. We got our older teens with their younger teens, and my husband and I driving the church van, and we went to different places in Charlottesville. There were people sleeping on benches and under bridges, and we encountered girls that were being trafficked and teenagers that were addicts, and we helped drug dealers. We helped anybody. If somebody had any, we helped them. And so we did that for a couple of years. But out of that came a place called the Hope Center. We said, we've got to minister to these people who have no place to go. So we got 27 churches together, and we got a building that had been a firehouse, and we put women and children on one side and men on the other. And so we picked them up in the van, and we started taking them to church. And they would smell of alcohol and cigarettes and body odor. And sometimes when we went to church, it was a big church. People would turn around and stare. And I thought Jesus would be sitting right with us, you know. And one Sunday, one of the people we helped, who later got saved and became a house manager in a safe house, her name was Dawn. She climbed over the pews and walked up on the stage. And she goes, Pastor, Pastor, I need Jesus now. And he was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? But she wanted somebody to pray with her on the spot. And years later, I found out that Dawn had been rescued and she was sober and her life had changed. So it was, you know, but out of that came this awareness that there were no places for girls that were trafficked. And Charlottesville is a beautiful town and people don't think of it, but there is trafficking happening right there. And there were girls being prostituted right there. So I was playing in a church. I was in music. Whatever, I played keyboard on Sunday morning with a small little renegade band in church. And I said, we've got to do something. We need to have a house for these women to go to, because our domestic violence shelter wasn't equipped to deal with this, because women who were trafficked have domestic violence issues, but they have a lot of trauma also associated with childhood sexual abuse. And it's really complex. And studies show that if you have women who are trafficked, where everybody understands all those things, they do better. So my church was wonderful, and I said, we need to start something. And they gave me $25,000 and said, oh, go open Letitia's house, because I knew that's what I was going to call it. And it was just, you know, God thing. We moved in Virginia to Williamsburg. The pastor at our church said, there's a house that's empty. We went to look at it. I walked through it, and I knew it was our house, because it was 9 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, empty, no neighbors nearby, literally 2 minutes from the church where the women could go. And 6 months later, we were in the house, got HVACs, new floors, bedding, and we opened. And so that's the Virginia House opened 7 years ago. And then one of our residents had been sent to us from Florida. And the Attorney General's office had referred her to us. And this girl said, Miss Liz, you've got to open a house in Orlando. I thought I was going to die. You know, she said, I thought I was going to die until I came here. And so we came to a trafficking conference, and we listened and we prayed that God would lead us to the right people to talk to. And he did. I mean, out of the thousands of people at this conference, we just prayed for the right, that we would run into the people who we're supposed to run into. And then we came back the next year, and we opened in February of 2019. So, and we were full in 24 hours. Our house was full.
In 24 hours.
Yeah. I mean, we only have 5 beds, you know, so it's, and we want to expand because we don't have enough beds, but.
And you know, you mentioned in Charlottesville that it's such a beautiful area, and people, and it is. I've been there, and then on to Williamsburg, and these are just gorgeous areas, and Orlando being called City Beautiful. It boggles the mind, doesn't it, that in areas like this that such heinous activity could be going on, and it's happening right under our noses. And you've done this. You're called to this. You're doing it. God opens up a door. You have a house now in Williamsburg, and it is nine bedrooms. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. It was a house that had been owned by a doctor, and he had was zoned residential and commercial, which was a God thing because we could put children on one side. And there were four bedrooms and two bathrooms, plus a live-in maid. He had a live-in maid. So there was a tiny maid's room with an ensuite bathroom. And then he had an office, which we turned into a bedroom. And then he had a doctor's office side with three offices, an x-ray room, which became our boutique. His checkout area became a new kitchen, and we put up sheetrock and took out the sinks in each exam room, and the exam rooms became bedrooms. So that's how we added three bedrooms and another bathroom to the house. And so in Virginia, we have a crisis stabilization side with five bedrooms. And then we have transition with two bedrooms, and then we have independent living with that three-bedroom apartment where a former victim, who's now my lead house manager, lives with her two children.
Now, you mentioned Letitia early on, and obviously she's the namesake for your ministry. Before we take a break, tell us the story ongoing with Letitia. Whatever happened to her?
Well, the Dream Center had this program where, you know, economic empowerment happens. You can rescue a woman and she can encounter Jesus Christ, and that's amazing. But if you've been trafficked at 12, you don't have your GED, you don't have job skills. So they have a program, which we've done and even added to. So Letitia went through their program and she became a house manager for them. But she learned job skills. And in Virginia, one of our residents who was trafficked 40 years, she's raped at five and trafficked for decades by a family member who kept her as a slave. She graduated from Liberty University last year with her degree in early childhood development. And Letitia's house will pay for college or vocational school because we believe that if you empower people to take care of themselves, you know, they have a much better they're going to be more successful if they have an employable skill.
So Letitia became a house manager in one of these homes then.
Yes.
And that's just tremendous. And we so thank God for you, Elizabeth. And if you just tuned in, friends, this is Elizabeth Ameling. She is the founder, the director of Letitia's House. And there is a house, by that name in the Orlando area. We'll learn more about that coming up in a moment. You're in tune to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Back again and on the phone with Elizabeth Ameling. She is the founder and director of this amazing outreach called Letitia's House. And we first heard about this last September when you were having a gala in the Orlando area. And it's like a fundraising thing. And obviously, you're doing something so wonderfully unique and so much needed that it boggles my mind when I'm hearing these things that you've done. In the break, you were telling me about just some of the statistics of not only the young ladies, but also the pimps that you have, from which you've rescued some of these girls. Share those numbers with us, if you would.
Sure. In Virginia, we've been open 7 years, and we've helped over 55 women. They've graduated from our program, and 86% of them have continued to do well in the community. But along the way, along with those women, we've sent 40 pimps, over 40 pimps have gone to jail.
Off the streets because of Letitia's house.
Off the streets.
And absolutely. You know that. When you, go ahead.
Yeah. When you come to Letitia's house, we encourage you to cooperate with law enforcement. And as God works on a heart and trauma counseling takes place, you know, in the beginning, women come and sometimes they defend their trafficker, or that was the only person they think that, quote, loved them. And so they don't want to testify or they don't want to talk. But as they heal and see how that wasn't love and how that was manipulation and abuse. Then God changes their heart. Counseling helps them to change their heart and say, gee, I don't want that to happen to someone else. And so women in our program, you know, cooperate with law enforcement. Then they'll testify in court, or they'll do a deposition. And that's really helped get some of these traffickers who are just heinous people off the street. And Florida is amazing. The law enforcement, I mean, sentencing in Florida is great, but I have a state coordinator called Stephanie O'Connor, and she graduated from UCF, and she's a social worker. And she's this lovely woman, also worked in the Peace Corps for years. And we were talking about hatred, because I remember the first time that I hated somebody, and I had never hated anybody. And it was a man who had abused an 18-year-old girl, and she'd gotten pregnant and had an abortion. And he had treated her with great disdain. But if you looked at him, he was like this all-American boy. And traffickers are sometimes the same way. I mean, one of our residents in Virginia, her trafficker was the head of the PTA. We had a case where a girl came from Maryland, was arrested in Virginia, and her trafficker was a professor in finance at the University of Maryland. And when he went to court and he was charged with, because he trafficked across state lines, and this girl had been beaten severely by him, he's wearing a three-piece suit and he's lawyered up. Mm-hmm. But he teaches finance at one of Maryland's best schools. So, you know, pimps, people are surprised by who a trafficker or a pimp is. It's not, there's not a stereotype, you know. We've seen women, we've seen men, we've seen the head of a PTA traffic a girl as a teenager, we've seen a professor. So, but we talked about hate, because I hated, it's this first person I encountered, and I realized I hated him. I did, and I had to work on forgiveness and learn what that meant. It's not a feeling, it's releasing that person to God, because he's the one who's going to judge them, and we pray God changes their hearts, you know. So we talked about the need for that, because it can be very easy when we listen and people go to court, and sometimes the things that you hear are just so hard, and it would be easy to hate if you don't guard your heart.
That is so true. That has happened to so many people when they go face to face with somebody who, again, using that word heinous, they've committed heinous acts against mm-hmm. other humans. And it's easy. It's you can even almost justify your attitudes of hatred in the sense of the fact that these people, you know, you can come to that point where you say they don't deserve any mercy. They don't deserve to just be clean and alive and living well in light of all that they've done. But going to prison for some of these, it could be actually the very best thing that could have ever happened to them, because they're pulled out of their surroundings. And so often the Lord just touches people when they're behind bars like that in a way that they're just not going to find him in their normal environs. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for caring enough. It's enough, I should say, that you did what you've done for these girls, but to take that extra step and actually pray for those that caused them to get into this stuff in the first place. And the profile that you gave us of the people that are in the trafficking, it's shocking then that really what you're really saying is that we could be standing next to a trafficker at the supermarket, and you wouldn't necessarily know. It's not going to be anything that would be instantaneous to give him away. He could be just your boy next door type of character who's doing these things.
Yeah, I mean, there are people stereotype, just like they stereotype trafficking victims. They think they're all foreign-born. I mean, Williamsburg and Charlottesville and Orlando. I mean, they're all places that people go on vacation and they retire to. The Blue Ridge Mountains is beautiful, and Williamsburg has Colonial Williamsburg, and how many presidents came from Virginia? Mm-hmm. Lots. And so there's a arrogant attitude about the place sometimes. And so to say that there's trafficking right next door, people don't get it. you know, we had a case last year in Virginia, because 7 years ago, people said, you're going to bring traffickers to us. You're opening a safe house. Not everybody liked it. We had people in the public who, you're going to lower property values. No kidding. Because you're bringing criminals into our element. You're going to attract girls that are going to be criminals. And we had that. I talked to groups and people would say, how can you do that? Now they understand. I mean, last year we got called. We do training with law enforcement locally, first responders. We've worked with our university back home, training medical students on how to recognize trafficking physically. And so we've done a lot of that. We have a great relationship with law enforcement. And they called us one day, and my site director, who was trafficked at the age of 12 and arrested at 30 and came to Leticia's house at 30, she's now 37, and she's wonderful. We got a call. They said, there's an emergency. You've got to come. And there's a hotel right next to Colonial Williamsburg, which is the premier attraction in Williamsburg. And it was a hotel literally half a block away where families go on vacation. And there were two girls. One was 18, one was 21. They had been kidnapped in Virginia Beach by a trafficker and brought to Williamsburg, and he had tried to kill them. And so law enforcement had called us because the trafficker had gotten away, but he was charged with two counts of felony kidnapping, attempted murder. He was on the run for 2 weeks, and he was hiding out at a hotel, literally in the city of Williamsburg. They don't have a SWAT team, so when they found him, they had to call in a SWAT team from a neighboring jurisdiction, and the Williamsburg police and the other two local police departments were all there. They blocked off the streets, helicopters overhead, and they arrested this man who had kidnapped and trafficked these girls. And that, it even made national news. Mm-hmm. But the amazing thing is that I had talked to people literally the day before, and they said, there's no trafficking in Williamsburg. So when it happened, I often remind people of what happened in our town, because people don't want to know about it, because if they know about it, then they have to do something, you mm-hmm. know. But what's done in darkness will be made known, and when it's exposed, hopefully people will say, hey, God, what do you want me to do? That's my prayer.
Well, it is happening all over the place. And again, becoming aware of this, even in our own areas in Florida, is shocking. And to hear that Florida is number two in this horrible statistic, that's not exactly what any of us want to hear. But it is something now that, because we do know about it, we can do something about it. We can help support organizations like Leticia's House, which you're expanding. You've expanded already into Orlando. Tell us about how that happened.
It's a God thing. All of this is a God thing.
You mentioned you came down just praying that you were asking God to let us bump into the right people.
Mm-hmm. We did. And so we were introduced to somebody at One to One Hope, the head of it, who's a dear friend. And we went and talked with her, and we just said, we know that we're supposed to do this. So we were introduced, and she said, oh, you know how many people come to me and say they're going to open a safe house? And she listened, and she thought, this is genuine, this is right. And then one of the people she introduced us to was in a prison outreach, prison ministry here. And this chaplain calls me up, and she says, I know of a house. And the woman, it's an empty house. A woman had lived there, and she had died, and her daughter lives out of state. And she said, you need to call her. And so I called this woman, and I talked to her. And the chaplain says, I'll be praying. So I'm actually over at Disney World for this, you know, walking around the animal kingdom, and I'm calling this lady I don't know, and she says, you won't believe this call. She said, last night I woke up in the middle of the night at 4 o'clock, and the Lord showed me a girl being trafficked on the street. And I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? And then she said, you called me.
Wow.
And I thought, isn't this God? So anyway, it didn't happen right away. We came back down to Orlando. We went to the house. There's a pastor at Church in the Sun who looked at the house. Her financial advisor came, and we sat around the table and prayed. And then they said, tell us what your vision is. Now, this house needed lots of work, electrical, flooring. I mean, my goodness, it was in some disrepair. But after a month of sitting there and praying, she said, okay, let's do this. So that's how the house happened. And then Northland Church and Church of the Redeemer in Nona, Church in the Sun, lots of churches came together, and there was hours of construction and fixing things and sheetrock and electrical, and hours and hours and hours of work. But the house was fixed up inside so that it could be readied, and people even took on bedrooms. And so at Letitia's house, the bedrooms are beautiful. They have nice sheets and comforters, and they're pretty. So when you walk in, it looks like the home maybe you never had.
Mm-hmm.
It's welcoming and warm and inviting. And so people lovingly do those rooms and make the, it says, I love you. You were wanted before we knew you. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So we opened February of last year, and we had referrals from Orlando waiting. We had a girl sitting in jail waiting for 3 months because it took longer to get open than we thought, because there were more issues with rehabbing a house than we thought. So she's our first graduate. She's graduating today from Letitia's house, moving into her own house.
Wonderful. Congratulations to you all.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so great. And, this whole process of moving into something is a big deal, and it's so great to see that so many different churches lent the skills and the people, the resources to make this thing happen. And
yeah.
So you've been in the Orlando area operating since February of 2019.
That's right.
Will you be having a similar type of fundraiser this year that you had last year?
God willing, yes. We're exploring. COVID has been a challenge. I think nonprofits everywhere. We're primarily funded by churches. We don't get government funding. And there are lots of reasons for that. Mainly, we're faith-led. We're survivor-led, but we're faith-based, and that's Christian-based.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to our house, you have qualified counselors, and you sign a contract that says you will go to counseling. You'll take medication as prescribed. You're going to work on your GED if you need to. And we have wonderful volunteer tutors who are incredible teachers who come and do that. So when you come to Letitia's house, it's not just you get a place to sleep. It's not a shelter. It's a program. So that means you're going to talk to an addiction counselor. You're going to go to counseling every week. You're going to attend Bible study. You're going to have morning prayer and morning meeting. You're going to do exercise. You're going to learn financial literacy. So when you come in our program, we've learned in Virginia over the years that the more life skills that people learn, the more successful they are on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because being safe is only part of it. We want to empower women to be successful when they have custody of their kids. And a house manager isn't saying, sweetheart, did you make your bed today? So the idea is in a way giving to them the benefits of a loving childhood that they didn't have. My kids grew up learning to take responsibility. They learned how to budget. They learned why you make your bed in the morning. They learned Bible verses. They knew that they could succeed or fail, and they were always loved. They learned that they were bought with a price and their body wasn't for sale. They were empowered to become who God created them to be by being in a loving environment. So what we do at Letitia's house is we kind of encapsulate the most valuable things that we do for our own children and put it into this house. So you learn how to save. You learn how to be respectful. You learn why getting up in the morning and having discipline is good. You learn how to trust people again.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of 12 to 15 or 18 months, you've gotten a lot of those skills. So when you're on your own, you'll be okay. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not, it's not a program in Virginia. I know, you can suggest that people go to counseling. You can't require it. We have a contract that you sign and you say, yes. When we interview girls, we have a new one coming this week. We say, are you willing to be part of a program? And so you sign a statement of understanding. And yes, I want to do all these things. So the incoming residents decides to do it. But then when you come to the house, we say morning meeting. It starts with a prayer. We read Jesus Calling, which is wonderful. It's a great devotion. Here's your counselor, and you're going to sit there and work through all that trauma. And it's hard, but if you work through it, you heal. And our motto says, you know, building a bridge from the traumatic past to a positive future. And so that's what we do.
One thing that comes to mind, and I think that people who are hearing this would be wondering what or where are the parents of these girls that are being rescued? Would it be a situation to where a lot of these kids are what would be termed as a throwaway child, like their parents didn't care where they were, or is it that they didn't know where they were and they really do care? What do you find to be the situation from a standpoint of where the parents are?
Well, the irony is that, I mean, 90% of girls that are trafficked, boys are trafficked too. You know, God willing, we'll do something for boys as well. Just have to do one thing at a time. I'm a vision. I see a lot of possibility, and I'm a vision caster, but I have to be reined in sometimes because I would do more than I'm doing if I could. But in the 7 years we've done Letitia's House, we've 55 residents, 150 people we've helped. We've had parents whose children are missing at 12 and they're heartbroken. And when the girls are arrested at 18 or 20 or 24, they're relieved. And one of our interview questions is there any family that you want to reunite with? Are there any broken relationships that you want to mend? And sometimes the family members were totally unaware, and they've been, you know, agonizing where their daughter is, or they've heard from her, but they don't know how to rescue or help her. But we've also had, in Virginia, we had four moms that trafficked their daughters.
Oh.
And so we've had uncles, grandparents, brothers, moms. So sometimes family members are complicit. We had a girl in our house whose mother used to say, I need money for rent. You know, when are you going to send me money? So this girl who was trafficked 18 years by a pimp at the age of 12, with her mother's knowledge, her mother had a drug addiction, and so she wanted her to send her money to buy her drugs. It's not uncommon to see that. Sometimes the young women who are trafficked, a lot of them feel responsible for mom, because children love their parents, mm-hmm. even when they're bad parents. You know, that's a thing. We never say don't love that person. They love their abusers. They sometimes love their pimps, and they love their parents. And so the hard thing for women is to sometimes say, I love my mother, and you should love your mother, but what she did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make this mom into somebody she should have been. And that's a really, really hard thing that we have to help people work through a lot, because the people that have hurt them the most are often closest to them. So there's not any one answer. Traffickers can be boyfriends in school, people they met in middle school. There's skip parties in school where traffickers get kids.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of situations, but oftentimes it's family too. So
that's just
a hard reality.
It is. It's an unthinkable reality to hear that functionally the parent is almost taking on the role of being the pimp in that kind of a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very sad. But thank you. What you're describing is not only wanting to rescue the kids out of a terrible situation, but then you're reforming them and really presenting an opportunity for them to be on their own, to be contributing members of our culture, our society, but more importantly, they're maturing as people of God and doing the work that God's called them to do and being whole and being complete. And thank you for that, Elizabeth. It is so amazing. And I would, oh boy, I tell you what, at some point I'm going to have to hear some of these dreams that are yet unrealized in you, because I'm sure they're fascinating to hear. If you've just tuned in, my guest is Elizabeth Ameling from Letitia's House, and we'll continue our discussion coming up in a moment. Letitia's House is a home that has reached out and is caring and is rescuing rescuing those that are caught in the terrible lifestyle of sex trafficking. And Elizabeth has been doing this now for 7 years, I believe you said, from starting off from up in the Virginia area. Now it has spread down to Orlando. We are so grateful. We'll be back with Elizabeth coming up in a moment. This is The Shepherd. With me on the phone today is Elizabeth Ameling with Letitia's House, this wonderful ministry that reaches out to, right now, girls who are caught in the lifestyle of sex trafficking. Many of them, most of them, never would have ever dreamed. I was touched when I heard the original Letitia's, some of her first questions when you rescued her was, will I have my own room? Will I have a shower? They're wanting just what so many, many people take for granted. And these are things that would be desirable, only dreams for some of these kids. Isn't that the truth? They're out there and living in a life of squalor often, and really abused in every imaginable way. And to hear Letitia, what her dream was to have a room, a bed, a shower. And that's something that Letitia's House offers, and so much more.
When these women come, they're trafficked as children, and we get them when they're 18. And so we say kids because they're emotionally like children a lot, but they are 18. I mean, in Virginia, we have women with their children, so we have minors. But we have to be careful about how we do that, you know, because there are laws and licensing for places for children. So. Mm-hmm. Usually our referrals come from law enforcement when somebody's been arrested. Mm-hmm. And then through the process of being incarcerated, they work in the jails here in Virginia, and they find out who's been trafficked. And then oftentimes there's a sting and they've arrested a pimp, and then it's finding a placement for the women who were almost always victims of you know, crimes as children. So, it's unusual for us to find somebody trafficked who was trafficked as an adult. I mean, they were trafficked first as kids.
Oh,
sure. Certainly exploited as children. It's the number one issue.
It is. And it's sad but true. When I think back to those kids that you took with you on some of those initial trips, and even on that first one, on that night when you were in Chicago, I can only imagine how that event impacted them. Have you kept up with a lot of those kids that would have been on that original trip?
I have. My daughter, Sarah, became an engineer, and she's worked on helping people find housing. My son became a missionary. And he has a heart for kids with disadvantages, and he was in China for a year. And so those are just two of the kids that I know because they're my own.
Mm-hmm.
It changed our church back home, because the Sunday we got back from that trip, the pastor had us come up on stage, and we told the story of Letitia to 2,000 people sitting there. And it inspired them, and that street outrage that happened in Charlottesville happened because of that mission trip. So the ministry to drug addicts and people that were homeless and people that were trafficked happened because of that trip.
Mm.
So it changed our community. I mean, 27 churches got involved because of that trip. So it was like the spark that lit the fire, you know.
And in your life, your whole life has changed because of that trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you're still playing piano, right?
I do play piano. Last night when we were, I play piano to celebrate. I'm in a hotel and there's no piano. I missed it. But, I got a call last night from a girl that we helped, and she's struggling. I really wanted to go play Beethoven, and I couldn't. When one of our graduates got into culinary school, I played the Hallelujah Chorus. So you can tell what my emotional state is by what I play on the piano.
Right.
So I still play piano, yes.
That's wonderful. Now, COVID-19 has affected everybody. It has been no respecter of persons or ministries or businesses, obviously. How has this last couple of months been for Letitia's House?
It's been very challenging. Our funding mostly comes through civic groups and churches. And so our donations were way down. But God is faithful, and we know we're doing what he's asked us to do, and we are trusting him. But March was a really terrible month. So, I mean, because churches weren't meeting and people aren't tithing and people are out of work. So we understand that. But, you know, it's been really hard and we're, you know, God's timing is perfect, though. I believe that if we're doing what he wants us to do, he will provide. And we got a call the other day in Orlando from the a foundation that had given money to somebody else last year. And we had come in number two on the grant. And it was it's a ministry through a foundation. And then they said, we have $5,000 left over. Would you like it? You know, so literally yesterday we signed, DocuSigned the paperwork and there's $5,000. So that's God. I mean, that shows what God does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, donations have been down for sure. We have a gala coming up in November 21st, God willing, that we are allowed to meet. And that will be at the Citrus Club. And I'm sure we're going to be social distancing and probably not have 200 people there, depending on what, you know, the governor and everybody requires us to do. Mm-hmm. But we still want to get the awareness out. And we want people in Orlando to know about Letitia's House because we're new. I know there's some amazing organizations out there that we even partner with that are people have know their names, and a lot of people don't know our name yet.
Now, you mentioned 200. Is that how many came to the gala last year?
The room held 200. We had 150 people, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what the restrictions are going to be. You know, we don't really know, but we do want to do something. We're also going to do some... online, we've got a team together looking at virtual fundraising and things like that. So donations are incredibly welcome. It all goes to the house.
What is your website?
It's letitiashouse.com.
And that would be spelled
L-A-T-I-S-H-A-S, letitiashouse.com. And we're working on the website because we needed to update it, but you can click on to the Florida House and see what the needs are. I mean, the expenses didn't change even though the economy kind of dropped. We still help people with housing and all those expenses. I mean, they're ongoing. So, and the women have a wish list for things at the house. Like if you get cleaning supplies, they always love that. And paper towels, which may be hard to find, and, you know, orange juice and things like that. So, you know, there are always things that we need. We have a new girl coming in. We have a resident graduating today, and she'll continue off-site in our Letitia's House program. So she'll continue to go to counseling. She'll continue to do financial literacy and accountability. We'll continue to do all of the things that, you know, counseling and parenting classes are required. So we continue that emotional support and financial assistance after somebody leaves. Because that's really a critical time for them to be okay. Because we've learned in over the years when people graduate, sometimes if they're really on their own, even though they think they're ready, they're not. And so if we can check in every week, we're going to be providing transportation. I mean, there are going to be eyes on this young lady and people helping with her children, which means she has a much better chance of succeeding. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue that for the next year. So when you graduate, it's not like we're done. We continue our relationship. So,
and almost 9 out of 10, almost that high of your residents have succeeded and have stayed clean, stayed free. And that is a tremendous statistic right there.
I mean, with that statistic, though, it's 86% over. We've tracked it for 7 years. But then we've had tragedies, too. Last year in Virginia, we had a resident who had graduated from our program die of a fentanyl overdose 2 weeks after she left. She had graduated from our program, completed probation, gotten her GED, gone to culinary school, had a job in a really good Williamsburg restaurant, one of the top Williamsburg restaurants. elite restaurants. She was making good money. She had five children. Now she'd been trafficked at 12, raped by her stepdad when she was 12, grew up in juvenile detention, met her pimp in juvenile detention. She had five children. She was broken. She came to Letitia's house from jail, encountered Jesus Christ, gave her testimony. It changed her life. And she was working on getting custody of her kids. And when she left, she was, I've got this. I don't need your help anymore. I'm graduating. I have an apartment. I'm fine. And we checked in with her, but she had moved an hour away. And we checked in with her, and she said, I'm fine. I don't need anything. And then the next week we got a call and they said she was found dead.
No.
And so it was incredibly heartbreaking, because if you'd said anybody's going to succeed, you would have said she would.
Mm-hmm.
She checked all the boxes. So we went back and said, Lord, what could we have done better? And so out of that came, it's our next mission. It's part of our mission. It's called Forever Home House, Forever Home : Hope Village. And so what we're going to be doing and what we're actively working on is providing a safe place for women to graduate, especially when they have children, and they continue that wraparound support.
Mm-hmm.
So even in Florida, we have a graduate happening today, but we have a contract, and there's eyes on her weekly. There are counselors and mentors and friends who are still going to be involved in her life. She's not able to go off into the sunset and say, I'm on my own. She's going to have that support.
Mm-hmm.
If she's struggling with her kids, she can say, I need some help. And help is going to be there. So we've learned even from the tragedy back in Virginia. So going forward, we hope that's not ever going to happen again, you know.
And we pray you that, yes.
Yeah, that's what we hope. So
yes.
It's not all success by any stretch.
Well, you're doing great, and we are so thankful for you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Ameling from Letitia's House. And as we get closer to November, we'd love to hear from you again on the program and hopefully talk about the upcoming gala that is planned, at least tentatively planned right now. And all of us, again, we want to pray for you. We want to be able to give. That's letitiashouse.com. And thank you for being with me today on the program.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's always great to talk with this. This is Elizabeth Ameling. And friends, we'll catch you later here on Afternoons with Mike. Thanks for being with me here on the Shepherd Radio Network.